Jeff Siegel joins us. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today, Steve?
Excellent. Pete Fornatale with me. And Hammer, I don't know if Hammer went for another cup of coffee or yesterday he had a bowl of fruit. I swear to God, the blueberries were the size of ping pong balls. I have never seen a blueberry that size, at least not outside of Violet Beauregard.
It's nice reference.
Unbelievable.
Nice reference.
Jeff, before we dive into picks, I want you to recount some of the great moments going back to Hollywood, the origins of this event.
Well, I remember in 1984, I was actually employed by NBC. I was Dick Enberg's spotter in his first telecast. I sat right next to him on the finish line and pointing things out. And I'll never forget when they had the classic and all that bumping was wild again and all that. He looked at me and I said, I don't know what happened. What are you asking me for, you know? So I wasn't much of a spotter. I think that was my first and only chance at that. I remember that day very well, and it was a great, great day of racing because it was so new. And, of course, then jump ahead to 89 when Our Horse Prize won the Breeders' Cup Turf. 30 minutes later, it was a Sunday Silence and Easy Goer showdown. So that was memorable, to be sure. And through the years, of course, I think locally, obviously 10 years ago when Zenyatta won the Classic, beat the boys, and came from an impossible situation where she was so far back. That was great as well. So, I mean, there's so many that I can think of that were thoroughly enjoyable and memorable, and hopefully we'll have one of those moments this weekend.
Well, some of those moments, of course, tied to terrific tote action, and we're led into this several weeks of conversations. Jeff, now with everything set and what appears to be, based on yesterday's results, seems like the main track was very fair. What's your thoughts going in?
It has been very fair. It's been very deep and very slow, and it's fair to those horses who can get into it and handle it. But in terms of bias, no, I don't think there's any bias. I mean, the inside-outside lanes are fine. You can come from off the pace. But you better be dead fit because this is a deep track. That's the way they want it. They believe it's safer that way, and it probably is. So I would think that, that's why I said, I was talking about this before where I will always, I wanted to demand at least a race or a workout over the track. Some of the horses that I thought had good chances, and still do actually, have not had that benefit, but that's part of the handicapping process, and we'll just see how it plays today, if it tightens up at all, and whether or not there is a bias.
How much how much on the fly movement do you incorporate, and how how far afield can you get when you're watching the action, and how deep do you adjust your plays, or do you for the most part just try to stay the course?
Try to stay the course. I mean, I'd hate to throw away several weeks of preparation on a whim. Sometimes that's what it is, and yeah, really, when you think about it, you play the race, you handicap the race, you've done everything you can to prepare for it, and then you just have to hope that things work out. I don't think there's a blatant bias. I haven't seen one throughout the entire meeting here. I don't think that's going to be an issue. I remember a couple of years ago when it was clear that the inside lanes were bad at Del Mar, that if you had a horse that was stuck inside, you were almost asking for it if you were playing a race in which you thought that the horse would be impacted by the bias. I don't have that feeling here. I mean, it might change, but I don't think it will. I think you just have to assume that your horse better be fit, and that's part of the handicapping process that I've incorporated. So we'll see what happens. We'll just roll with it, and hopefully it works out.
Well, let's kind of wing through today before talking in more detail about Saturday. Some highlights for the card today from you?
Well, again, it's competitive. The one thing about this turf course, and because we're going to be dealing with several turf races today and tomorrow, very very fast, very glib. I'm going to assume that four wheel drive in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf is going to handle it. He's an American Pharoah. I've loved his races back east, and he's been running on firm ground. I don't think that's going to be a problem. I love the fact that he's able to show speed but not necessarily need the lead to win. So I think he, at 3-1, and I don't know what he's going to go off at, but I think he's probably the consensus favorite, so I kind of like him. And I think Band Practice, the Euro Invader, who's won three in a row, Philly, tackling the boys, I think she's got a chance to hit the board at 12-1 on the morning line. So for me, four-wheel drive hopefully will kick things off and run to his abilities. It'd be nice to see an American Pharoah, two-year-old, win a Breeders' Cup first time out, first in the first crop. The next one is the Breeders' Cup Turf Mile. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf at a mile. This is tough. Arizona's a very, very decent sort of colt, but I'm not sure that he necessarily has to win. I think Dan Blacker's colt way on the outside hit the road. He was as visually impressive as I've seen a two-year-old this year. Poor draw on the 14 hole, but he'll drop back and make a run. And if he has pace to run at and good racing luck, he could be there. And Decorated Invader, Christophe Clement's colt, winner at Canada in the summer. He's looking really good. He's a maturing, developing two-year-old colt that I think has an edge on some of his rivals. He's also a first-time Lasix user. I like his inside draw, and he can kick it in as well. So those, to start things off, those are the first two races on the turf that I don't have to worry about the deep main track.
Any lean when it comes to the juvenile? I'm curious. The seems like the jury is really out on eight rings. Has become a divisive candidate in there.
He shouldn't be. I mean, he's a good colt. I don't know. Other than try to make the gap and dump his rider in the in the futurity. He hasn't done anything wrong. I mean, I thought his Del Mar win, maiden win, was very good. Earned a 94 buyer number. He went to the front and on that very deep track, and he won the American Pharoah. He won that by a pole, and the colt that he beat, I think, is a pretty good horse, American Pharoah, although he's not in this race. I don't think he's done anything wrong. I think most people have been enamored, and I'm one of them, with Dennis's Moment, just because of not only the way he ran, but the way he's breathed since then. I think he's pretty darn good. I really kind of was looking forward to see Maxfield run. Unfortunately, he's not here anymore. He got hurt, but I'm not going to throw any cold water in eight rings. From a gambling standpoint, I prefer Dennis's Moment, but eight rings have want to look there. The sprint, I like the way the race really sets up nicely for Imperial Hint. You've got Mattoli and Chancelot inside of him, so he can kind of sit out there and make his move. Very similar to the trip that he got when he won the Vanderbilt with that 114 buyer number two races back at Saratoga. So he might have been the biggest beneficiary of a favorable draw. I really think Imperial Hint is going to run extremely well. I think Mr. Money's got a really good chance to upset Omaha Beach in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Mr. Money is a miler. He's been running farther. He's been running in races like the Pennsylvania Derby and the West Virginia Derby, longer races, because that's where the money is for three-year-olds. But he is a prototype dirt miler, and he is, in my way, maybe not quite as good as Omaha Beach, but right there with him. And I think Mr. Money at 6-1 on the morning line, for me, could be a gamble. So those are a few horses that I like. The grass sprint is just a mess. I have no idea who's going to win that one. And the Filly Amira sprint. I think Covetti was the best filly, and maybe she still is, but that's a tough post from the rail. And Come Dancing, we'll see how she can perform out of New York. I think those are the two there. So, a lot of it's, trying to figure out where you want to go. And I know I'm dancing around a little bit for you there, but we'll see how the day plays out, and hopefully we get good racing and safe racing.
And, Jeff, you said a couple of things that I wanted to circle back to, but I do want to. I've been watching for scratches this morning, and in an unbelievably frustrating scenario, Brendan Walsh's other horse, Vitalogy, is scratching from the juvenile turf. And so to make the trip here and to have two really important and live chances. Brendan Walsh now has Vitalogy out. We don't have too many specifics, and I'm still waiting for the final, some of the final scratches and changes on the day. But that's one that people are going to have to make some immediate adjustments. And apparently, how about Danny Pish? Danny Pish comes to California and gets Deviant into the juvenile turf, and I'm hoping that this is the case. Lane Luzzi was named, Mike's son, and it would be unbelievable for Lane Luzzi to get a chance to ride in a Breeders' Cup here at the beginning, really still the early stages of his career.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. It happened to us back in '89. We had a horse named Political Ambition who we really thought was going to win the Breeders' Cup Mile, very, very good colt, and he came up with a what turned out to be a hairline fracture above the ankle. Right, on the, it showed up the morning of the race, and so that I've been there. You know what I'm saying? I know it's how that feels, and so it's a tough game. They never, no, the racing gods never make it easy. There's always something.
No. I wanted to get that, and we're still waiting to see if there's any other changes. Jeff, Mike Welsh is going to join us shortly here. The Twilight Derby, I'm curious what you came up with.
You know, I'm going to go with Kingly in that race. I like the blinkers off angle. He's going to make the lead. He's coming out of a race against older horses, and I thought he ran pretty valiantly in that race. And I thought that the pace situation is going to be favorable for him. He's probably going to need the lead type. But in this race, he's going to make the running. You know, he actually did not run all that badly in the Del Mar Derby. He was right there, and that only got beat a length and a quarter by essentially the same horses. But I like the blinkers off angle. I think he's going to make the running. You know, maybe it's just, you know, his turn, because this is a very evenly matched group. I don't know about whether or not a mile and eighth is in his wheelhouse, but if it's ever going to be, it'll be on this course under these conditions. So I want to try him, Kingly, for Bob Baffert.
Jeff Siegel, everybody. Jeff, it's been so much fun, and we'll look forward toward Del Mar and the winter season. Best of luck today, tomorrow, and knowing you, you'll be playing Sunday too. So we'll do some recapping next week.
That would be great. Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you next week.
Jeff Siegel, everybody, and the brain, as he's widely known, does a tremendous job. Mike Welch joins us now from the Daily Racing Form, and of course, Mike was a road warrior tracking all the workouts from New York to Florida, then back to Kentucky, and then out here. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Mike, we're just relaying the news that Vitalogy with a scratch can't feel worse for Brendan Walsh.
Yeah, boy, that's a tough week here for that for Brendan. You know, the vets are doing their due diligence every morning. They're out there in full force, watching the horses train, trying to be on the safe side. Maybe a little overcautious in some cases, I guess, but. You can't be too cautious, I suppose, especially on this big stage.
Well, it does change. I'm going to have to quickly readjust, too, because he was my pick in the juvenile turf, and I'll make those changes as soon as we get off the air. Mike, let's get into some of the selections and some of the horses that you've been most impressed with, coming up to a peak. And let's start with the sprint, the race that you cover for the Form. Give everybody the update about how the major players are coming in and maybe some of the lesser lights that need to be considered in light of a potential collapse.
Well, look, I mean, this is probably the most, maybe not the most contentious race, but certainly a race that everybody is looking forward to. And, you know, the major players are all doing well from what I've seen. I mean, Chancelot's last work that I saw out here, I mean, he couldn't have gone any better than he did. I mean, 46-2 over the way this racetrack is playing. Finishing under a full Nelson and then galloping out strong into and around the turn. Horses have not, you haven't seen the same kind of gallop outs here this week that you normally tend to see before Breeders' Cups or big events or even on a regular days from really good horses, because the track is definitely been on the deeper side. But he had plenty of energy left, so he's doing great. Mattoli's gate work was super. I mean, except for if you want to nitpick, change leads a little late, but I think that could be just him. Steve said he wanted to put a stiff work into him in case he drew an inside post where he had to be in a position where he had to send him out of there early. He wanted him on his toes, and that's what he got. So, and coming out of the work, he was full of energy earlier this week and in his blowout. I have not seen Imperial Hint, obviously, down in Monmouth, but taking Louis Carvajal's word for it that those last two works were perfect. You remember last year before the sprint at Churchill, his final work there just wasn't Imperial Hint, and he ran that way. He still finished third, but for whatever reason, he just doesn't seem to take to the Churchill Downs track. So that remains to be seen, and, you know, it's a question mark these horses coming from the East and Midwest that haven't had to work over the track, you know, you have to wonder, could they need one over this little bit deeper track, assuming that it's not going to change today or tomorrow. So that's something we have to watch, I think, how these horses that are just coming in cold over the Santa Rita racetrack fare. And I think we should be able to get a little bit of an idea this afternoon at least, and then we could carry that over tomorrow. You know, Whitmore was terrific in the work I saw at Churchill Downs. Catalina Cruiser, I thought, was a little disappointing in his work earlier this week. He went out a little quick. It was over that same, you know, deepish kind of racetrack that some of these others seem to be handling a little better the same day. That is his moment. Went the same 23 split, but went 46 and change. Catalina Cruiser, I thought, got a little bit tired at the end and just lackluster on the gallop out. So, you know, obviously he has a home court advantage here, but, you know, breaking on the rail is not the place to be in a race like this either. I mean, the key here is definitely this pace scenario. Will Chancelot get loose? Will Matoli and Imperial Hint dog him? How's the track playing? You know, there's a horse in here that's worth playing at a big price. I think it's Firenze Fire. I mean, if this race kind of backs up late, we saw how he ran against Imperial Hint, not running his usual style. He's definitely not going to be that close to the pace in this race. So the race could set up for him if he handles the racetrack.
Mike, let's touch on some of the biggest names and some of the biggest spots and some of the biggest favorites coming into this race. Your classic thoughts about how everybody comes in and how you picked it.
Well, I mean, this race, I think, is one of the most wide-open races. I think you can make a good case for probably five or six horses at least to win the race. The five of us were sitting around at dinner the other night, and we gave our top picks. We had five different picks. So that just shows you, you know, the nature of this race. And again, by that time, we'll know how this racetrack is playing. So that will help a little bit, but you still got a big field and that run to the first turn. It's a long one, but it's still an important one. I mean, running down quickly, Math Wizard is, you know, from what I saw down in Florida, is training great. I just, you know, obviously don't think he's up to this caliber. Seeking the Soul, just okay training. I thought Owendale's work that I saw in Kentucky on the 19th was really good. I mean, it didn't go as planned, but it was really good. But the question is, you know, facing older horses for the first time, maybe he's a notch below. Warra Will's work here was good. He's got the blinkers on. We'll see how that factors in. But again, against older horses, first time, still a notch below for me. I love the way Ashita's training. Just love the way he looks. You know, obviously we don't have any of his works on the workout report because he was at Saratoga, and that was one place we did not have covered. But I love the way he worked here the other day. He looked like he was just galloping. He went 50, but he looked like he was just out for a gallop. And yesterday he was the star of the show for me as far as looks training in the morning. So Yoshida's a player. A late, I've absolutely loved as well. Her work at Churchill was super. Her work here was more maintenance-y, but still, you couldn't ask for any more. Just the way she looks, she's just glowing and doing terrific. I don't know if she's good enough to beat the boys on numbers. She's going to have to improve a little bit, but I made her my pick. For the value, the way she looks, I went with a late. Higher Power's last work was good, and he's got the home court edge here. McKenzie, you know, I thought his October 22nd work was okay. I thought the last work was better, did it easier. I'm not so sure he wants to go a mile and a quarter. And I'm not so sure he might not be tailing off a little bit. That Awesome Again race against Mongolian Groom, I'm a little against because obviously if you want it, which surprised me. Mongolian Groom works, I've never seen him work before. The work I saw was just okay. Actually, his last two works kind of more stamina enhancing than anything else there. Vino Rosso, watching his works and talking to my New York guys, watching his works on tape, couldn't be doing any better. He's got a win here over the racetrack, major player. And Code of Honor as well, he just keeps getting better and better. He's going to have to work out something from post 11. Doing great, but again, you know, he's one of those horses that you just don't know how he's going to take to this racetrack coming out of New York. I think that's going to be a big factor. And we'll know, obviously, by the time we get to the Classic, we'll have seen how these horses that have not had to work over the track and only a couple of gallops here, how they've fared up to that point. And then it might be worth worth noting as we get into the last race.
Mike, one of the things that I love asking you about, and you and Gary Young and John Nichols, horses that, you know, showed up here from points on the compass, you know, unknown, you know, the Europeans and some of the other far-flung types, and invariably there's horses that gallop in that you've never seen, but all of a sudden they just catch your eye. Any Euros that just sort of, you know, you said, geez, who's that, and put the goggles on them and or her, who's caught your eye this week that you didn't know about coming in?
Well, how about a Korean horse?
Yep.
How about the Big Chip? Is that Big Chipper?
Blue Chipper.
Blue Chipper. Yeah. He's really caught my eye. I mean, his work the other day was terrific. He's had a terrific energy level all week I've been here. Who knows how good he is? I mean, you don't know what he's beating, obviously, in Korea. They could be 30,000 claimers for all I know. But from the way he's looked, the appearance he's made, I mean, he's just jumping out of his skin. I think he's going to run real well. It wouldn't shock me if he went right to the front and tried to wire the field. You know, it remains to be seen how speed's going to be playing, but he's obviously taken to the racetrack. So he's one of those that you mentioned. And Castle Lady is a filly who's shown great energy here in the morning. It seems like she blows out 3/8 every single day. She's been trucking around there in the morning, made a great impression. I don't know if she's good enough to win that race, but she's one of those that you just mentioned that I never heard of, actually, before I got here, and have really caught my eye.
I like it. What about the juveniles? Quick thought about Dennis's moment and Eight Rings and any of the others, both male and female.
Well, Dennis's moment is my pick for sure. I mean, I'd heard all these stories about how good he was before I got to Kentucky. Had never seen him. Got to see that October 18th work and was totally convinced. I mean, he's another one. Went 58-3, and you would have swore he was going 101 before you looked down at your watch. And granted, he's got, you know, Tammy Fox on his back, and Tammy, you know, goes about 85-90 after a big meal. But just the way he did it, and then he came out here. Same thing over that October 25th track that was, you know, a bit on the deep side that I mentioned. Catalina Cruz went 23-1 for the first quarter and stopped to a 48 on that track. Dennis's moment went 23-1 and went 46-3, and again, did it as easy as can be, and then had terrific energy going out into and around the turn. The rail draw, you know, might be a bit of a negative for him, but I just think this horse is pretty special, and he's not going to be much priced now, with the especially with the scratch of Maxfield, who may have been his biggest obstacle here. So Dennis's moment I really like. Eight Rings, I was a little disappointed in the work I saw here. I just didn't like the way he galloped out. You know, goofy actually into the turn. Not sure what was happening there, but he just didn't have that late energy I really wanted to see. And I, you know, I saw the tape of his work before, and kind of similar, just okay. So I'm going with Dennis's moment, and for a price, I'm going to throw Shoplifted into the mix. That last work, obviously, that the work on the 20th was not what Steve Asmussen wanted. They went way too slow. He worked in company with Wicked Whisper, so he brought him back in 3 days, which you really don't ever see Steve do. And they picked up the pace. He got the better of Wicked Whisper, who's pretty darn good herself. And I just like the way he's looked, though. He's not going to be 20-1, but especially with Maxfield out. I think Shoplifted could come running late, maybe pick up some pieces.
I saw it that way in the 20-1. You know, if you're trying to boost up whoever you like as a winner, I thought Shoplifted very interesting, and actually he fits on Figs too. Very close to the.
Yeah,
the
I remember that morning line price was made with Maxfield. In
yeah,
the race.
That's true.
So
that's true.
It'll be adjusted. I'm sure his morning line would be about a 12 now, and I'm going to guess he's going to be, you know, somewhere around 8 or 10 at most. But
yeah,
he'll still be a price if you want to look for some value instead of going with the chalk and just Dennis's moment, Eight Rings. Exact. Even though on numbers those two stand out, obviously now that Maxfield's gone.
Well, on the Clocker Report, Mike Welch stands out. Mike Vesey, Donald Harris, Toby Terrell, the whole team.
Dave Grenning, too.
Dave Grenning, too.
New York, too. Yeah, I can't give enough credit to all my guys we had around the country. You know, this is the best report we've had for the Breeders' Cup because it's the most coverage we've had. You know, we're looking for bigger and better things as we go forward with the report. Gulfstream comes next, and you know, we're even trying to, hopefully this winter, if we can get someone in at Payson Park, that would be a big plus. So that's what we're endeavoring to work on that at the moment. But the reports are up. The Saturday report is on the site. So, you know, go take a look.
Well, and there was, of course, the clocker formerly known as Payson Dave. I don't know if you could transplant Dave Norton back to Payson Park.
The problem with Payson Park, and people don't understand, it's a private training center.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to kind of get permission if you want to have a clocker there. So that's what we'd have to do if we had someone available that we could send up there. So that's the obstacle. It was the same problem we had at Palm Beach Downs. Basically, I had to get Todd Pletcher's permission to go in there and, and clock the works, because it's a private training center and they're paying to be there. And he was kind enough to grant us that permission. So we have, you know, Dave Norton is there working for both us and the racetrack at Palm Beach Downs.
Exactly. Mike, we thank you for getting the report out early. Enabled us to, you know, really get the work done on Wednesday and then the last
thank
night.
Thank the Breeders' Cup for that, for drawing the entries on Monday instead
of Tuesday. Helps too.
That's a big help. Yeah.
That helps too. Mike, best of luck. We'll see you this afternoon.
Thank you.
Mike Welch, DRF Welch, everybody, and we've rolled right up to the 10-minute mark, and perfect opportunity to turn it over to Hammer and Jimmy Ventura, who is standing by. How can you not be sitting here with us?
Jimmy, you on?
Jimmy,
you on? Yeah, there you are. And a rare occasion where Jimmy and I are at a racing event, and we were not together the night before handicapping. We've matured a little bit. I don't know if you would call it maturity, but we've never been this fresh going into an event, a 2-day event. I'm not going to talk about tomorrow. I'm talking about today. But Jimmy did a little handicapping on his own, as we did here, and I'm actually to hear Jimmy's comments.
Jimmy,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. In the Hollywood Hills over here, it's not great reception.
No, you sound good. You sound good. Okay. Dive in. I'll turn it over to you and Hammer.
So,
start with the little sprint. 2-year-old sprint.
Reception in the house isn't really good. I don't know if you can hear me now.
We can.
Go right on. Go in. Start in.
Okay. Yep, I'm in. So, basically, the only thing I can say about all the Breeders' Cup races and trying to handicap and seeing which way I wanted to go, I've come to the conclusion that I'm going to take a stand on a few races in the pick six and single a race or two. With the turf races with Bricks and Mortar and Sister Charlie, and, you know, obviously they're favorites, and a lot of people may do that. But I think by doing that, I could probably spread quite a bit in the big races. Although I like Vino Rosso in the Classic to win that one, I'm going to, if I can hit, as Hammer said early on, if we could hit the all button at some point, that'll be good. So I'm going to try. I looked at the Breeders' Cup this year more as a betting strategy, and versus, you know, really which horses I think are solid. Today's, you know, event, I like everybody else, I watched the breeze of Dennis Bowman, and he's uber impressive, so I think he's going to fire a big shot. In the Distaff on Saturday, Bobby has a piece of Secret Spice. She's training great. We came out there yesterday, watched her. She looks dynamite. So that'll be the horse that I'm pulling for in that event, and hoping to repeat a more than real wager and celebration. So other than that, it's, you know, the races are really competitive. The sprint race, I know, has, you know, the Mattolis of the world and all them, and going through it, I think that, you know, Mattoli's obviously the horse to beat, and Whitmore, that he's just a little engine that keeps on coming. So he's going to be my horse over there in that one.
No, and Jimmy, we brought up another horse yesterday that's kind of been not heard from much. Imperial Hint, who seems to run every single time, and I'm the more I'm going to watch the board on him, and if he drifts up into the, I don't know, 5-6 category, do you think he might be in that range with
well,
all the
yeah,
other horses in there? He runs every time, and I don't know. He's got a little bit more experience to him.
I have not heard one person talk about Imperial Inn. Not one.
And it's funny. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I absolutely agree. I walked into the bedroom, and I just went back to see the sheets, and that is the horse that we had the conversation about the other night, Hammer. Had a few too many drinks last night at the house, so I'm a little fuzzy if I don't have the printouts in front of me, so apologize.
Absolutely. Got the post there on the outside, can kind of see what's going on in there. He's going to be in the front edition here, and if the front end goes and lasts a little bit, he's going to be there. And we talked about Whitmore is the one that's not going to beat us if they are coming home late.
Correct. Is there any, Euro buzz? Usually when you're on the backside, you hear something about one of the Euros training really well or the one that they like the most based on the Santa Anita turf course or something like that.
It's been eclectic. I mean, there's a lot of interesting